We read from God's Word before us this morning. The section that we meditate on and apply to our lives comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 28, verses 10 through 17. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south, and in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. These are God's words before us this morning. Dear fellow redeemed of Jesus Christ, we speak of things in our lives that touch our emotions. In every circumstance of that kind, when our hearts are touched in such a way, there is a cause and there is an effect. We might call that a catalyst as a cause and a response as an effect. The catalyst that touches our emotions is the something or someone that initiates the process, that evokes the emotion from us. And the effect of that is then the response that we offer in return. If you are touched emotionally, you are not the catalyst. When we speak of this in terms of our faith, when we're touched by God emotionally, that is so important to remember that we are not the ones in control of the situation. The response may come from us. There may be an effect in our lives, but God is the catalyst. God is the cause. We have to be careful about this because when it comes to our lives, when it comes to our faith, there are other catalysts out there in the world. Satan can be a catalyst. Your own sinful nature and flesh can cause you to respond to certain things in your life. Even individuals in your life, even those nearest and dearest to you, certainly evoke emotional responses. But when it comes to our relationship with God, He is on an entirely different platform than any other catalyst in our lives. Now, we know that there's a lot more to faith than just our emotional response. There's a lot more to faith than just how we feel about certain things. We thank God that He tells us that faith comes by hearing the Word of God, the unchangeable truth that God has given us through the Bible. But when it comes to our emotions, when it comes to our response, how do we truly know if God is the catalyst? How do we truly know if we've been touched by Him? You see, when it comes to emotions, sometimes we dictate what comes from God and what doesn't come from God based on which emotion it is. If it's something that's good or positive or expresses something nice, then it must be from God. But what about our scripture reading from Ephesians where Paul told them, "Be angry, but do not sin." Anger is often looked at as a negative emotion, and yet God tells us there are times in our Christian lives where it is appropriate to express that emotion, where God generates anger in our hearts over something that is contrary to our faith. How do we determine if our catalyst is God? The answer is we go back to His Word. We stay grounded in His Word. You really have to do that when you're dealing with something like emotions because they can take us all over the place. Paul writes in a different chapter of Ephesians where he was concerned about their faith because he said they were like a ship on open waters without a rudder. just drifting aimlessly because they were carried along with every feeling and whim of emotion. So when we're talking about these responses from God that can be blessings in our faith, we have to remember to stay grounded in His Word. But when you're led by the Word of God, that means God is the catalyst. And if God is the catalyst, it means you won't always get the reaction that you anticipate. God determines that. Not every feeling in our hearts is necessarily correct. Not every intuition in our minds is derived from God. You are not the sole arbiter of righteousness and justice in the world. God is. And therefore, despite what your emotions lead you to feel, you have to follow Him. We talk about this today because Jacob struggled with it. Jacob struggled for a long time in trying to be his own catalyst, in trying to lead his own way in his life, in trying to generate the spiritual feelings and emotions that he wanted. Jacob wanted to be with God. He wanted to taste heaven. He wanted to be blessed by God, but he was forcing the issue on his own. Think of some of the things Jacob did in his life. You know the stories well that predate our account today. Jacob was swayed by his mother to steal the birthright from Esau, take matters into his own hands. Jacob lied to his father's face about who he was so that he could be blessed. Jacob ran away from home in shame and disgrace, seemingly losing everything that he had just gained. Even after this account, Jacob still, at times in his life, tried to take matters into his own hands. We're told that even after he married Rachel and Leah, he had children by their servants because he wanted an heir, just like his forefather Abraham had done. And he tried to take matters into his own hands. When Jacob ran away from home here in our text, he had nothing left. He truly was on his own. Sometimes a lot is made of this stone that Jacob laid his head on in our text. But one thing that it's certainly indicative of is that he had nothing at this point. Whether physically, spiritually, materially, whatever it was. He was lonely. He was desperate. He was on the run. And part of the Lord's plan in coming down and revealing Himself to Jacob in this way was to touch him emotionally and make him feel that loss so that Jacob would know the futility of trusting in his own plan. Jacob needed that humbling reminder from the Lord that he was following the wrong path. And the thing about it is God's plan worked. We're told in our text that when Jacob received this dream from the Lord, his reaction was that he was afraid. His reaction was fear. Jacob was afraid because God had confronted Jacob directly with his mistakes and failings up to this point in his life. God did not allow Jacob to run any longer from the ways that Jacob had tried to circumnavigate God's will in his life and to take matters into his own hands. And God's magnificent display of power that evening was a catalyst that drove Jacob to fear. And as hard as it was to endure, as strange as it sounds to our modern ears, where we're so conditioned to believe that everything about God needs to be something positive in my life, as strange as that sounds, this was good for Jacob. We do well to wonder in our lives, in what ways does God act the same toward us? In what ways is He a catalyst to wake us up from the indifference and the apathy of our faith, from relying on ourselves, from the ways that we want to take matters into our own hands, the ways that we want to follow our own path instead of what God's Word says? How does God drive us emotionally to fear Him at times so that we recognize His majesty and His awesomeness? That's an answer that only you can provide for your life, because it differs for each and every one of us. Because although generally we're walking that same structure of path that Jacob himself traveled, it will show itself in different ways for you. And so it's not something I can tell you as your pastor. It's not something that your mom and your dad can lead you in. You as a Christian who uses the Word of God have to determine, how is God leading me through that Word? Like Jacob, we have many times where we want to run and hide from God's plan in our lives. We have times when we want to try to go around what the will of God is leading us through and seek our own path instead. We have times when we want to make excuses for our infractions against God's law, as if we had a reasonable response to do what we did. But at some point, God is going to take your life and He's going to do what He did with Jacob here, and He's going to confront you in a way that you cannot escape. And one of the ways God does that time and time again for us is to remind us what His Word says about the law and its consequences, about the proper way that we fear God. We need that same humbling reminder that Jacob received from time to time. We too need to be touched emotionally by the power and justice of God. And through that, we recognize that fear is not a bad thing. Correction and discipline from God can be blessings. We need them in our lives. This is part of what the walk of faith is. We should recognize the awesomeness of God in the settings where we see it in His Word. We should not be afraid to confess it, to believe it for our lives. We should not resist calling Jesus our Lord and our Master, in addition to our Savior and our friend. God touches our emotion in this way, and it's part of Him being the catalyst. And if you don't have a healthy amount of fear and respect of God in your life, it's probably an indicator that you have a different catalyst leading the way. Yet what a difference it made when we move on from Jacob's response to God's promise to him. God tells us there's a lot more to faith than just fear. Fear is merely the beginning of respecting who God is. God also works the catalyst of faithfulness through what He proclaims to us in the gospel, and that leads us to recognize His mercy, to trust in forgiveness through Christ, and to have hope for where we go. God exposed Jacob to the futility of his own path to better highlight the saving grace of God's path. So He does the very same thing in our lives. When we recognize the full severity and weight of God's law on our consciences, on our hearts, what the impact of the law has on our eternal futures with God, God does that to highlight the one way of salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. The beauty of the fact that God's own Son would come down to earth for us when we didn't deserve it and lift that very weight that presses down upon us so hard off of our shoulders and lead us to heaven by His free grace. In this text, we see God's promise to Jacob in the words that He proclaimed to Jacob. It was no ordinary promise. This promise from God contained a messianic significance. In fact, it was the very same promise that God gave to Jacob's grandfather Abraham, first of all. You can trace out the different parts of the book of Genesis where God gave these individual promises to Abraham, but He consolidates it all here for Jacob in these few verses. And we see the three main promises that God gives. Number one, God would bless Jacob and his descendants with the promised land. Number two, God would make Jacob's descendants numerous as the dust, He says. And number three, God would bless all nations of the earth through Jacob's seed. In each and every one of these promises, we see different aspects of Jacob's life which God would bring to fulfillment, but we also see a direct look at Jesus, our Savior. It was in the seed of the woman that was promised not just to Jacob, not just to Abraham, but first of all to Adam and Eve. It is in the promise of Jesus as the seed that God would defeat Satan and crush the head of the serpent. other parts of this promise would have in a fulfillment in Jacob's own life. His children would go on to form the 12 tribes of Israel that would become numerous, that would take the land of Canaan. Certainly God fulfilled that promise there. But all the nations of the earth continue to be blessed through Jacob and his promise, not because of their physical heritage, but because of having the same faith in the same God. Every individual that believes in Jesus increases the family of Jacob and Abraham. And through Christ's own fulfillment, we are privileged to count Abraham and Jacob as our family members by faith. We are blessed to be sons and daughters of the same family and members of that family to whom God first gave these promises of a Savior. Just as Jacob had nothing in himself to claim these blessings, so we also have no credit of our own, but it's a product of God's unconditional love on our behalf. Jacob rightly felt the fear of God when God confronted Jacob with his almighty power. And each time we view God's law in our lives, it has the same effect. But God does not leave us in that state of fear. A much greater motivator, a much greater catalyst, something that touches us in a deeper way, even emotionally, is God's gospel in his Son, Jesus Christ. And that gospel comes to us the same way it came to Jacob, not in how we feel alone, but in the trustworthy promises of God, in the words that God has delivered to us that do not change. Jacob did not know in that moment what his life would amount to. He barely knew what the next day would hold. And yet he was touched in the very same way as we are. He was led to the humility of repentance, and he was led to the joy of God's grace. And so Jacob, as you follow the text through, took what little he had in that moment, and he used it to praise God. He took that stone that he had put his head on the night before, and he made a memorial out of it. He poured oil on it, and he used it as a symbol and a reminder of what God had done for him in that moment at that place. Jacob used his words to praise God, to worship God. He gave that piece of ground the name Bethel, which in Hebrew means the house of God. For the first time in his life, as far as we know from Scripture, Jacob stopped trying to walk his own way. Jacob stopped trying to take God's plan into his own hands. And Jacob trusted in the Lord. That led him to worship and praise God in a way that he couldn't do on his own. That led him to honor God with his words, to dedicate his actions in life to God. All these things that Jacob tried to achieve on his own, to live righteously before God, to be seen as someone acceptable of God's blessing, all these things finally happened for him when he really trusted God and stopped trusting himself. And so the same promise is alive and well in your life. You can walk that same path as Jacob. You don't have to worry about what you bring before the Lord. You don't have to try to climb the ladder of heaven by yourself. Rather, God comes down to you. God connects with you through his word. God confronts you with that same stark reality of the law that exposes your situation, that reveals to you the ways that you've tried to do things on your own. God comes down to you and delivers the same promise to you in word, but also in action. For it was Jesus himself who descended heaven in bodily form, who became one of us to suffer and die our consequence and our punishment. Why would we try to achieve our own standing before God by climbing the ladder to heaven? Why would we try to look at what we have with our hands and what we have in our emotions as if we can please God enough to gain heaven on our own? He has come down to you, both in the body of his Son and in the enduring word of the Bible. And so remember, as you move forward in your faith, remember Jacob's lesson, remember Jacob's hope. Do not trust in what you carry along the way. Do not use that as a way to achieve something before God, because you may realize one day you have nothing more than a stone. Rather, trust in Jesus as your catalyst. Yes, that means he is the Almighty Lord. That means he stands in full justice, condoning no sin. That means he will judge the whole world on the final day. But it also means he's your friend. It means he's your brother. It means he's your Savior. It means he extends to you free and unlimited mercy and forgiveness. And so emotionally speaking, God will touch your life in a lot of different ways. You will probably feel different emotions as a Christian from time to time, depending on the circumstances of your life, depending on the Christians around you, depending on what part of the Bible you're in. But as long as God is the catalyst, as long as God is leading the way, you will be safe, you will not be on your own, and you will be blessed. Amen.